Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Do you ever sit down on a teeter-totter and try to make it work by yourself? It doesn't work very well, does it? You have to have somebody else on the other side. And that's the way God designed our lives. We need each other. We're better together. We need relationships to live the life that God intended for us to live. Let's look at God's Word and what He has to say about this today.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. Now, as we continue our series called Better Together, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you learn how to love, trust, and work together with your family, friends, and community to achieve common goals for your life. It's called the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. You can take a sneak peek at this great resource, which includes a 6-session DVD and study book guide, by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's program. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called What Destroys Relationships and What Builds Them.
Now, the fourth enemy of community is resentment. And this one's the other big one. These four things destroy relationships. Resentment destroys relationships. Job 5, verse 2 in the Bible says this: to worry yourself to death with resentment is a foolish, senseless thing to do. Now, everybody blows it. We all make mistakes. We all, what the Bible calls, sin. I sin, you sin, the Pope sins, everybody does. We are all sinners. That means I'm not perfect. I don't bat 1,000, okay? I don't measure up to God's standard. I don't even measure up to my own standards. I disappoint myself a lot of the times. So, because we're all imperfect, you're going to hurt other people. And other people are going to hurt you in life, intentionally and unintentionally. So you're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt in life. That's a fact. What's more important is, what do you do with that hurt? What you do with it is more important than the hurt. Are you going to allow it to make you better, or are you going to allow it to make you bitter, resentful, and carry a grudge? Now, the Bible tells us, and even history and personal experience tells us, that opposites attract. Opposites attract. And then when they get married, opposites attack. What fascinates you now irritates you. This happens all the time. You see, when you are single and you look out there and you see somebody that's not like you, that is fascinating. You know, like a person who's kind of quiet says, look at that person, how boisterous, how loud, how full of life and vivacious they are. And you find it attractive because it's not like you. And so then you get in a relationship or you get married, and then after about a year, you're going, do you have to be loud all the time? And it starts getting on your nerves. It starts irritating you. And as I said, you attract and then you attack. I mean, if you have been married at any point in your life, how many of you had unrealistic expectations in your marriage? Can I see your hands? Yeah, the rest of you are liars. Okay? Yeah, it's true. It's a setup for resentment. Now, often, it's not the big things in life that make us resentful. Those can, obviously, and do. But it's also a lot of little things that just pile up. And you just start piling them up. And a lot of little things can break the camel's back. And so we get irritated. And those irritations, when we hold on to them, turn into resentment. Now, again, since we're all in small groups, I wrote some common irritations in life to be looking out for in small groups. First is the person who's always late, and then they take 10 minutes to explain why they were late in the middle of the group. The person who talks too long. They love to hear themselves talk. The TMI, the too much information person, especially about a surgery of a relative. You know, it's an organ recital. And the guy who has to check the score of the game during the group. The person who's dogmatic and says, this is the way it is. He said, well, I guess the discussion just ended. The person who is insensitive and joking. The person who turns every statement into a wisecrack. He thinks he's a stand-up comedian and that the group is Comedy Club. The guy who forgets the guacamole. You know, in every group, there is somebody who's just a little bit off. You know, they don't catch all of the social signals. They're heavenly sandpaper. You know, I call them the EGRs, the extra grace required. You know, right now, you're thinking of that person in that group, right now. In fact, if you can't think of it, guess what? You're it. Okay? So if you don't know who it is in your group, it's you, friend. Because it's real obvious to everybody else. Okay. Now, what do you do with these little irritations in a small group? Well, you do two or three things. First, you ask God to fill you with so much love that their irritation doesn't bug you anymore. Remember, one of the things that group does is it's not just to learn content, it's to learn to get along. It's to learn relational skills. That's why we believe everybody needs to be in a small group. You don't learn it on your own. You don't learn it sitting here in a big crowd. It's you learn relational skills. So ask God to fill you with love so that person doesn't bug you. Second, you can go to that person and talk to the offender personally, you know, in love. You know, you say, you know, it just may be me, but I've noticed you're a jerk. No, just kidding. No, you know, it may be me. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little extra sensitive, but this kind of bugs me. And can we talk about it? You know, you talk too much or, you know, whatever. But what you don't do is say nothing. What you don't do is sweep it under the carpet, hide it, go home and complain about it to everybody else, talk to everybody else in the group about it, but not that person. No, you don't do that because it quickly turns into resentment. And resentment is always wrong. Now, let me clarify something. Anger is not always wrong. Resentment is always wrong. There is a right kind of anger and a wrong kind of anger. When I see injustice in the world, I better get angry. Sometimes anger is a result of love. If you hurt my kids, I'd get angry. That's a legitimate anger. In fact, the Bible says be angry and sin not. In other words, there's a way to get angry and not sin, and there's a way to get angry and sin. But resentment is always wrong. It's when you pile up anger in your heart. It's frozen anger. Now, why does God say, don't do this? Two reasons. First, when you get resentful, you stop thinking clearly. Your logic goes out the door. Your logic gets distorted. Your perspective gets clouded. Your vision gets all mixed up. And you don't think rationally when your emotions are involved and you're resentful and the adrenaline's running. And you just don't think straight. And not only do you not think straight, you start acting in self-defeating ways. The most foolish things that have ever been done in history have been done in revenge or in retaliation or in resentment. And when you get resentful, you tend to do a couple things. First, resentment doesn't work. It never hurts the other person. It only hurts you. It's like, shooting yourself with a gun to hit them with the kick of the recoil. You know, it doesn't work. You see, when you're resentful, you're stewing on the inside, you're all upset, they're oblivious to it. They're on their happy, merry way. Your stomach's tied in a knot, and they're happy as a clam. They're not even aware of it. You're not hurting them with resentment. You're hurting yourself far more than you're hurting them. When you're resentful, two things happen. You don't think logical and you do self-defeating behavior. Notice what the Bible says, Psalm 73. Since my heart was embittered, that means resentful, I'm bitter, and my soul was deeply wounded, I was stupid and I could not understand. In other words, I didn't think straight and I started doing self-defeating behavior. God says, I don't want you to do that. Okay, I don't want you to do that. Now, one of the purposes, listen to this, real important. One of the purposes of a small group is to help you think straight when you've been hurt. Because when you get hurt, you need other people around you who can think unemotionally and more rationally. And you come to group, you go, you know what, I had this thing today, and it was just so, I wanted to wring that guy's neck. And they're going, now, did you really want a lawsuit? And have you thought about this? You need other people. You're going to be hurt in life. And when you start to get bitter and you don't think straight, you need people who are not bitter around you to help you think it through and keep you from doing dumb things. Does that make sense? Now, that's what the Bible says. Look at the next verse. Look after each other. Okay, that means watch out for each other. Watch out that no bitterness, that's resentment, takes root among you. That's in your group. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. So when somebody's hurting in a group, you gather around them and you help them and you keep them from getting bitter against it. See, this is how we grow. And by the way, when you see a personality clash in your small group, you don't sweep it under the carpet. You don't pretend like it doesn't exist. You don't ignore the big pink elephant in the middle of the room and keep quiet about it. No, you deal with it quickly. This is how we grow. We learn to be honest in groups. And that's the only way you grow. You never grow from dishonesty. You only grow from honesty. And I have discovered that most people are about 95% honest. 95%. There's that 5% that they're afraid to say to their good friend. And they know they need to say it to their friend, and they know it would help their friend. They're just chicken. They're afraid to say it to their friend. So they're 95% honest. They almost go all the way, but they don't go that last 5%. And it's that last 5% of speaking the truth in love that helps us grow up and helps us mature and helps us become more like Christ. You see, the reality is the people that we want to love the most, we often end up resenting the most, like parents or somebody else. Those we want to love the most, we end up resenting the most. So what's the antidote? The antidote to resentment is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness builds relationships just like resentment tears it down. And if you're going to have a long-term, lasting marriage that lasts your entire life, you're going to need massive doses of forgiveness. Massive doses of forgiveness. Colossians 3:13. Would you read this verse aloud with me? You must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, why should I forgive other people? Well, there are three reasons. First, resentment doesn't work. It only makes you miserable. So holding on to a grudge, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. It doesn't help. So you forgive for your own benefit because resentment doesn't work. It just makes you upset. Second, you have been forgiven by God. And third, you're going to need more forgiveness in the future, and so you better offer it to others. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts, as our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. God, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive everybody else. Oh, do I really want that? You see, we forgive because God says you need to forgive for your own sake. You say, Rick, I can't do it. I cannot forgive that person. That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why you need Jesus Christ.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called What Destroys Relationships and What Builds Them. It's from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The Bible teaches that we're better together and that we need deep, purposeful relationships with other Christians. Yet many people get tired of trying and settle for superficial connections or even retreat to a lonely life. Pastor Rick says you can experience healthy, vibrant relationships through community with other Christians. And that's why he put together the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. This 6-session DVD and workbook will help you find and establish the type of friendships you've always longed for. Here's what Vanessa shared. I never thought I really needed a small group, that I could handle life on my own, because I'm tough. But after a period of going through minor illnesses, I decided I needed to be in a group. So I started one. A few months later, I had to manage two separate tragedies. I felt like I was under attack. But it was my small group that got me through with prayer and faith. Never before had I needed to lean so heavily on other believers. And I'm so glad that they were there when I needed them. In a month where I could have doubted Christ, I grew closer to Him because of the strong people in my group that I had been blessed with. Life is easier with a small group because they help carry you through the good and the bad. Thanks for writing, Vanessa. If you want to learn how to cultivate deeper relationships with those around you as you discover how we are better together, then call and ask for the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. We'll send it your way when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
You see, we forgive because God says you need to forgive for your own sake. You say, Rick, I can't do it. I cannot forgive that person. That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why you need Jesus Christ. Because you can't do it. You're right. You can't do it on your own. Human love runs out. You need God's supernatural love in you. Look at this next verse, Titus chapter 3. Once our lives were full of resentment and envy, but then Christ saved us. Not because we were good enough to be saved, because we're not, but because of His kindness and love, that's His grace, by washing away our sins, everything forgiven is wiped out, and giving us the new joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God puts His Spirit of love in my life, all because of what Jesus our Savior did on the cross, so He could declare us not guilty in God's eyes. You need to experience God in your life. You'll never be able to let it go until you get God's love in you every day and every moment. Now, let me explain what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not making excuses for that person who hurt you. They hurt you, and it was real. Forgiveness is not minimizing the hurt. It hurt. Forgiveness is not justifying it, saying it's no big deal. It was a big deal. Forgiveness is not saying it wasn't wrong. It was wrong. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of the pain and letting go of my right to get even. Now, why would anybody do that? For your own sake. Because you are living in misery the longer you hold it on. Some of you are still allowing people from your past to hurt you in the present, and that's dumb. They cannot hurt you anymore. The past is past. And every time you hold on to that grudge, you are perpetuating your own pain. That's stupid. They can't hurt you anymore. The past is past. They only hurt you if you refuse to let it go. If you hold on to it as a grudge in resentment, you are hurting yourself. And God says, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. Forgiveness is the only way to get on with your life. They don't deserve it. Did they deserve it? No. Do you deserve to be forgiven by God? No. But God did it anyway, out of His grace and kindness. You see, resentment turns your heart into a desert, and it dries you up emotionally, and you don't have anything to give to anybody else. Your boyfriend, your husband, your girlfriend, your wife, your parents, your kids. You don't have anything to give because you are so stuck in the past, you can't get on with the future. And it turns you into a desert, and you're dried up. But God brought you here this morning because He's got some good news for you. Look at the next verse. Here's what God says to you. The Lord says, forget what happened before, and don't think about the past. I'm going to do something new in your life. and I will make rivers on a dry land. I'm going to turn that desert into an oasis. Now, you may have had some relational disasters in your life. Welcome to the human race. Everybody has had some relational disasters. Everybody. What are you going to do with them? God wants to start something totally new in your life today, right in the middle of 40 days of community. And it starts with opening up your life to Jesus Christ and letting Him fill you with His love on a moment-by-moment basis. Let's bow our heads. As we close, let me ask you four very personal questions. First, who do you need to be more unselfish with? Who have you been critical or judgmental of? Have you been unwilling to admit, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Who do you need to say that to? I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Have you been afraid of being real with other people and you've held your cards close and you've denied your emotions and you've hidden your emotional nakedness? Is there anybody in your life that you have shared that secret with? You're only as sick as your secrets. Who do you need to forgive? You know, all four of the antidotes to resentment and insecurity and selfishness and pride, all four of the antidotes are found in a relationship to Jesus Christ. You get that relationship lined up, all your other ones will fall into place. You need to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord, the manager, the boss of your life. Let Him fill you with His love, and you'll start to have great relationships with other people. So pray this prayer in your heart. Dear Jesus, You've seen every relationship I've ever had, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And You know how selfishness and pride and insecurity and resentment messes them up. I admit that I need Your help, Jesus, in my life and in my relationships. So as much as I understand, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life and live through me and put Your love through me. I want that fresh start that You offer. In Your name I pray. Amen.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Now I know I talk about this a lot, but it's because it's so important to your spiritual health. If you're not in a small group, you need to get in one. In fact, I challenge you to start a small group. It's easy. You just go find a friend and say, "Would you like to study the Bible with me for a few weeks?" And you tell them the study you're going to study, and then you ask that friend to find a friend, and you find another, and pretty soon you got three or four. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I am there in the midst. You know, I've been a pastor now almost 40 years, and I can tell you that when you ask people and invite them to your home, most people will welcome that invitation. They want to connect, and it's a way to show that you love your neighbor and you love your friends, and that you want them to grow in Christ too. One study I would suggest you start with is the 40 Days of Community Study, which is about why we need relationships. I can't think of a better place to start than that. That God designed us to need each other. We're better together. Now, right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. And that includes a DVD and the workbook and all that you need to form a small group. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll continue to join us every day as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.